We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all light and love, journey with us this Lenten season, dear Lord, and may your words bring the water of life to our hearts and homes. Bless us, guide us ever onward, dear Lord, that we might see the greatness of our God and all that you have done for us, that our hearts may be warmed and strengthened by your forgiving love. Bless us, guide us, enrich us in every way that we might bring you praise. In Christ our Savior, amen. For years and years, day after day, this Samaritan woman would have picked up her bucket and walked out to this well, because day after day she needed a drink of water. So once again, this day seemed like any ordinary day. She grabbed her buckets and made her way to the well. I wonder what she was thinking about on the journey. Maybe everything she had to do that day? Or maybe she had a fight the day before with someone and was reliving it in her mind. Or maybe she was planning a party that she was going to host. But the one thing I can wager she wasn't thinking about was the miracle that was waiting for her at the well. But Jesus had it planned. This was not going to be any accidental meeting. No. He wanted to be at that well at that very moment, specifically to meet this woman, so he might heal this woman. It started out as a very strange encounter right off the bat. She comes up to the well and, oof, here's a Jewish man sitting at our well. What's he doing here? And then he asks her for a drink of water. Jewish men didn't talk to Samaritans by and large. And so what is she to make of this? What was Jesus going to make of this? His whole goal was to catch this Samaritan woman on her downward spiral into hell and lift her to the very heights of heaven. But she didn't know that, not at that moment. Actually, she was more shocked than anything else. Shocked because first this Jewish man asks her for a cup of water, and then he offers her a cup of water. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that it asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Yeah, at this moment, she doesn't really know who he is. But she's confused still, thinking that he's talking about the water that's in the well. Jesus told her that the water of the well, that quenches your thirst for a moment, but you end up having to always coming back to that well over and over again. The water that Jesus has is very different. "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Wow, now there's a conversation starter. Oh, she's all in on this. Give me this kind of water. She doesn't want to ever be thirsty again. And boy, if she doesn't have to run out in the heat of the sun to grab another bucket load of water, this is great news. But Jesus wasn't talking about indoor plumbing, was he? No, he was talking about the water to quench the thirst of a soul. But Jesus does a very unusual thing. He has her undivided attention. She's going to grab a hold of every word he says, and all of a sudden, in the midst of it, he throws in a conversation stopper. Oh. He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. In fact, the fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Oh, You can hear the conversation turning at that point. Why does he have to be bringing up her sinful life? She's had five husbands. How old is she? Wow, she moves through husbands rather quickly. Now, granted, these husbands could have all died. One could have fallen in a pit, the other one got cancer, another one gored by an ox or something, but in all likelihood, along with these five husbands, there were probably five divorces. You know? Well, what goes on with that? Is she by chance one of the most bitter and demanding women on the face of the earth? Or does she have a terrible knack for marrying drunkards and swindlers and wife beaters and adulterers? Or could it be a combination of the two? Boy. And so she has just kind of given up on marriage. She's decided instead to move in with her boyfriend so that either one of them can walk out the door at any moment. What a life of tragedy. How difficult and bitter her life must have been. But she doesn't like the direction this conversation is going in. How does this stranger know all this personal stuff about me? Well, we know, because he's God. He knows everything about everyone. But our question is, why, Jesus? Why in the midst of this conversation would you bring up something so painful as her sinful life? All so that this sinful woman would know how much she needed the water he was offering her. Because there is no peace outside of this water of life. Have we ever wished that we could be at that well with her? Just to sit down and have a chat with Jesus? To see what he thinks about things? Oh, we have so many questions to ask him. What day of creation were all the angels created on? Huh? What will my body be like when you raise it from the grave and give me a new body? Oh, I'm anxious to see what is heaven really like? Oh, we have lots of requests, too. I mean, we have family and friends, and oh, they need lots of stuff. Oh, I have a whole long list, dear Lord, for you. But there is a certain danger. There's a certain danger of talking with Jesus. He wants us to come close. Come. Talk. But he might direct our conversation in a way we don't want it to go. Jesus comes and talks to us, and he wants to hear everything in our heart and mind, but he also might want to talk about some very personal, private details of our life. Maybe even some we think nobody else knows. Jesus knows everything. But would we have the courage, if we could actually sit down with Jesus and have a conversation over a cup of coffee, would we have the courage to say, Jesus, what do you think about the sin in our lives? You see, he knows it all, doesn't he? With this woman, he knew of the five marriages, the weddings, how big the cake was, and he knew every detail of their arguments and what ripped their marriages apart. And he knew the name of her boyfriend and how long they'd been living together. Jesus knew all the grisly details. But notice how he comes to her like a gentle doctor with bad news about cancer tests. He's there to heal her, not destroy her. And so he comes to us. He wants to talk with us. But do we have the courage? What do you think of our sin? We might want to bring up that fight we just had with someone where we spewed forth lies and fury just to shut the conversation down. Our anger destroys so much within ourselves and within others too. Or maybe we'd like to talk to Jesus about that romantic attraction we have for someone other than our spouse. Adultery and pornography are addictive and deadly. Or maybe we have an addiction to drugs or alcohol or whatever, and we pretend like nobody else really knows. Jesus knows. Would we like to talk to him about that? Or maybe our hearts are heavy because we have taken what never belonged to us in the first place. Oh, the money, the inheritance, the candy bar from the corner drugstore. Oh, it all tasted so sweet at first, but now it is so bitter. Maybe we haven't been in God's house so long that we are afraid the walls will collapse in judgment on our heads, knowing full well that the golfing and the fishing and the sleeping was never very good on a Sunday morning. Maybe we've spent our lives in trying to get rich, only to find out that we are so poor. Or maybe we have wealth, and we've discovered that it's not the paradise people talk it up to be. It's really a life of worry and stress. So many things we could talk about with our Lord. How we can be crushed and small, dysfunctional, and empty in a multi-million-dollar castle. Meaningless, meaningless. What does Jesus think about our sins in our lives? They break his heart. They break his heart because it just goes so contrary and opposite to the very nature and fabric of God himself. It's such an offense. And they cause such rack and ruin and misery and suffering in our own hearts and lives. Think of a sin that is truly repulsive in our eyes. I go to child abuse. A poor 6-year-old who's beaten to death. Or is left to starve to death. Or is sexually abused. Is that not repulsive? Doesn't it make us gag? That's what God feels about every sin. Even those sins that we might label as fun and beneficial, it's so against his nature. And look at the great devastation in the hearts and lives of people. Regret, anger, loneliness, suspicion, fear, anxiety, all the other, they all stem from sin. Sin in our lives, or sin in someone else's life, or sin in this fallen world of ours. That's where comes the anger and the war and the hopelessness and the abandonment. Lent is a season to bring all those sins to the cross of Jesus Christ, to find perfect healing, complete peace, to cry out in our conversation with the Lord, Messiah, tell us of this living water that you spoke about. The Samaritan woman wanted to end this conversation. It wasn't going well. And so she thought she'd bring a quick end to it with a pious platitude. I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. In other words, stop talking. I don't want your explanations anymore. But Jesus seizes on this very opportunity to bring a miracle into her heart and life. Jesus then declared, I who speak to you am he. Boldly, clearly, for the whole world to hear, Jesus is declaring he is this long-promised Messiah. Follow him to Calvary's cross and to the... Who is this who dies? None other than God himself come in human flesh, the Savior of the world. Realizing who Jesus is, this woman's eyes open up. You're the Messiah? That brings all new meaning to his invitation to drink of living water. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. water. It's interesting that Jesus uses that picture of water. We so need water. He has created our body so that every cell in our body needs water. And we need water in our system even for all the chemical reactions to be normal and healthy. We cannot survive without water. And so also we cannot survive without His spiritual water that refreshes and gives us life and strength. Jesus not only gives us water, He Himself is this water that He gives us to drink. To believe that He is the one true Savior, and through His sacrifice, He has paid for all sins. Through His glorious resurrection, He has won the victory. And in Him there is life and forgiveness. That changes everything. And He invites us to drink deeply, cup after cup, page after page, of this water of life from Scripture. But how does this water actually work and nourish us and revive us? Well, imagine for a second that Jesus never came to rescue us. What would life be like then? Hopeless? Helpless? We'd all feel what war is like, but yearn for peace. We know what guilt and shame and fear of judgment is, but oh, how we would need forgiveness and respect and safety. We would love to be able to, we thirst for love and safety and peace in our hearts, but it would always elude us. This world, for as long as it's been around, has promised the answer to all these and can never give it. Wars continue, strife continues, evil continues in this world, and it will never be eradicated by anything in this world. Buddha isn't going to pay for our sins. Allah won't give us an ounce of protection. All the good deeds we do or all the love in our heart won't be able to atone for any of the sins we have committed before God's judgment bench. But in the midst of this mess, in steps Jesus, the Lord of life, the God of heaven, taking on human flesh to cry out on that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken so that we would not be forsaken, so that we might have that peace, peace between us and God. That's the water of life. He has made the total payment for our debt of sin. He's the one who is our light in this very dark and evil world. He has removed our transgressions forever and ever. And so He invited this Samaritan woman to drink of this water of His grace and life that she might be free of the guilt of her 5 failed marriages and her sinful sexual life with her boyfriend, that she might move forward in peace and forgiveness and love. Jesus wanted to be her Savior so that she could have the peace of being a child of God, know that her past life is truly past, forgiven and forgotten, and that her future now holds heaven's glory, that she could have peace in life and rest when she dies, knowing that she's going to enter the mansions of heaven because Jesus, the Messiah, has come to save her too. Every time through her difficult life that her soul might become parched and weary and her body worn with the rigors of this, she can return back to Christ's cross to be refreshed, replenished, to have hope new again. Well, Jesus has come to talk to us as well. He's come to be our Savior too. We live in a parched world, a broken world, and often our soul is burdened. He comes to refresh us with this very same news that He is the Messiah who has taken away the sins of the world. A life of love and joy doesn't come from anything in this world. It can only be found in our Savior. A life of peace and security, of having a purpose in life, and knowing the blessing of God doesn't come from anything we could do or manufacture on our own. It only comes from the holy adoption that God has brought in baptism, that we are now the children of God and his blessing rests upon us. Jesus has become our dearest friends. Friends in this world might deceive us, might leave us, but never Jesus. He has come close to hear everything that's on our heart. He goes home with us to be our constant companion. And he comes to fill all those voids in our hearts and our lives with his love, with his presence, with his grace divine, that we might be filled to overflowing. He's come to heal us in his grace and goodness. Jesus has come to talk with us this Lenten season. Are our ears open and our hearts alive to hear every word that comes from the mouth of God? There is true peace and joy. May we have it in abundance. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, merciful Lord, use this time in our life to draw us ever closer to you. Fill us with overflowing with your life-giving word, true water from heaven, to refresh us, to make us anew. Bless us and strengthen us, dear Lord, all to your glory, now and forever. Amen.